good. This will be your last session to listen to me, so you'll be free after this. Just before we go into our next letter of our famous word, digit, I'm going to ask for, do you enjoy your lunch? Yep. Good crack. Who have you got to thank for your lunch? James. How many of you said thank you to James?
Good point.
It's a good thing to be associated with James, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Here's a question for those of you who are associated with Christ. Do you know that you can show everybody that you're associated with Christ? There's a way in the Bible that God has given to us that you can tell everybody that you know that you are in Christ's team. What is it?
Say thanks to him.
Give thanks to him, yep. This is something you don't even have to say a word. Something you do. Baptism. Being baptized. When you are baptized, that's exactly what you say. You don't say it with your lips, but you're saying it with what you do. You're saying, what are you saying? You're saying, I'm finished with being an Adam, and I am now in a new team. I am now linked with Christ. I'm linked with the man who died, was buried, and rose again. And it is an expression of thanksgiving to the one who died for us in the fact we're now linked with him. So there's the thing. I don't know if you thought about it, and maybe some of you have and some of you are baptized, but if you're a Christian and you're not baptized yet, remember that baptism is not just a ritual. It's not just something you do, a ceremony that has no meaning. It's actually telling people that you are now linked with Jesus Christ. And there's another way. There's another way that you can tell people that Christ is your captain. That Christ is your head. That's really what it is, isn't it? He is your captain. He is your head. What's the other way? The Bible says whenever we come together in a church, the men don't wear their head covered, and the women wear their heads covered. And that's a symbol. You telling people, I belong to Jesus Christ. He is my head. He is my head. So you see, folks, baptism and this head covering issue thing is not some fuddy-duddy made-up stuff. It actually is based on the Bible, and it's based on the most amazing truth in the Bible, that Jesus Christ is my head. He's my captain. He's the captain of my team, and I'm linked with him. Okay. So, just put that in your mind, you can think about it. Now, the fourth word that we're going to look at one of the biggest questions that you could ask in your Christian life is, what is the will of God for me? Okay? What is it God wants me to do with my life? How can I know what God wants me to do? I wish every day there was a little letter on my floor with the letter, open up, dear Paul, this is what I want you to do today from God. That would make life so much easier if you just got a step-by-step instruction manual of what God wants you to do every day of your life. Okay? So, throw me out some things. What could the will of God be for you? What could it be? It's massive, could be anything. What could it be? You could be, what, a nurse? Guys, come on. Couldn't you? Yes, yes. Just keep smiling. Yeah, so you could be a nurse. What else could you become? Billionaire. What else? A mummy. An astronaut, did you say? An astronaut. It could be. An astronaut. Or a spy. Or a dad. Or a mum. Usually those are like with gender. What else could you become? What else is the will of God for you? What could it be? Could it be a missionary? Yeah, could it be? When I was your age, lots of things happened when I was your age. I've always wanted to be a missionary to Russia. I don't know where it came from, but it was like, I want to be a missionary to Russia. Be a missionary. You could be a teacher. How do you know this? Is this the question, like, how do you know the will of God? Is there a secret? Is there a secret to knowing the will of God for my life? When people come up and say to you, do you know, the Lord told me that you're going to be... There's a man come up to me recently and said, the Lord told me that you're going to do X, Y, and Z, Paul. You know what? I was like, seriously? That's quite good. But it was totally unfounded. And it was just, I don't know where it came from. I don't know how the Lord told him. But he told me that the Lord told him that I was going to be this sort of person. Okay. How do we know the will of God? First of all, do you think it's an important question? Have you ever asked it? Yeah? In your own self, in your own. Can I tell you something? You see, that's what it could be. Wipe it out. And I know. Because I'm amazing. I know what the will of God is for you. I know what it is. You don't have to ask questions. You don't have to worry about what it is. I know what it is. And if you get this, folks, today, this will radically change your life. Not the whole tenor, radically change your life thing. This will seriously, radically change your life. There are people, there are preachers and teachers, Bible teachers, who still have a daily quest, because I speak to them, of what the will of God is for them. And you'll know today. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you will know before you leave here, if you listen, and if you believe it, what the will of God is for your life. What the will of God is, not just for the end result of your life, but for every single day in your life. Every single day. What it is. Would you like to know it? Yeah, just about four or five of you would like to know it. Good. Let's read Romans chapter 12, please. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to look at this together. We'll maybe look at it in a different way you've ever looked at it before. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, not that you may try and discover, but that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. Okay? So, I'm going to tell you today what the will of God is for your life. This is not a prophetic meeting, and this is not an apostolic sort of thing. No, this is a normal meeting. Okay, I'm going to tell you what the will of God is for your life. And I'm going to tell you something else. Now, this might make you not feel special. This might make you just feel a bit, oh. It's the same for you all. None of you are any more special than anybody else. Have you ever had grandiose thoughts of greatness in your heart? You know, that is, I'm going to change the world, or my wee bit of it. Have you ever looked at old Christians, little old Mrs. whatever her name is, and she's 85, and she's lived all her days in Gorey, and she's brought up children and grandchildren, and she hasn't changed the world, and she keeps on going, and she's got a smile on her face every day, and she's lived through trials and troubles, and you go, but what's she done? What's she done for anybody? She's only brought up three wains, and, you know, I want to make my life matter. I want to make my life count. I want to do something that changes things. Do you ever think like that? I want to be a missionary to Russia and change Russia. And then people will write books about Paul McLarty and how you changed Russia. That's a nice thought. You know what, folks? That's not the will of God. There's a verse in Jeremiah 45 that says this, and especially you young men, think about this. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. We want to be the person that makes the difference. We want to be the big man. The one everybody remembers as the influential. That, no, seekest you great things for yourself? Don't seek them. There's something bigger than being the big man. There's something greater, folks, and it is the will of God for your life. I'm going to tell you what it is. And it starts with the letter T. I knew you knew that. Okay. Where is it in the Bible? Where is it in these verses? What's the word? What's the word? Yes, somebody sort of muttered it out.
Transformed.
Yes. The will of God for your life, folks, is transformation. Okay, well, look at this. Okay, don't go all that. Oh, what's that about? You need to get this. If you go like, oh, what's that about? I haven't got it. Okay? You need to get this. This massively changes things. That word transformation is actually the English translation of a Greek word that you know very well. Okay? Metamorphosis. You know that, don't you? Yes, metamorphosis. That's where we get the word metamorphosis from. So, you share something with creatures that metamorphosize. Okay? Their purpose in life is to change. The will of God for you is to change. Not that you would change the world. Something bigger. Something mighty bigger. But that God would change you. Folks, that is immense. That is huge. God has far more to do in you than he ever wants to do through you. It's what you become in your character that's God's will. It is not ultimately, remember, look at this a wee bit later, it is not ultimately, I was talking to James in the break, whether you go to Edinburgh University or whether you go to Aberdeen. Do not spend weeks before the Lord, prostrate on the ground, pleading to God for an answer, whether it's Edinburgh or Glasgow. What is the will of God? Please, God, what's the will of God for me? The will of God for you is transformation, whether you go to Edinburgh or Glasgow. God gives you that freedom, folks. He gives you that freedom. You can make the choice. But the big thing in the making of the choice is this. Transformation. You say, what if I make the wrong choice? What if I was supposed to go to Edinburgh and end up in Glasgow? What have I done? Is my whole life wrecked? Some Christians think that. So, I was talking to you, you're in a kind of like straitjacket, and you go, what's the will of God for me here? And then this is the will of God, and this is the will of God. And then I go out in the will of God. And I've lost myself. The rest of my life is not in the will of God because I've taken a wrong turn. That's not the biblical thing. That's not the Bible. The big thing is not where you are. The big thing is what you are. No matter where you are. And as you grow, God gives you those opportunities and those that freedom to make. Brothers and sisters, the will of God is a free thing. It's freedom. That you may put to the test and see that the will of God is good. It's good. So it's translated. What creatures metamorphosize? Thing. I don't even know how you say that in English. Metamorphoser. What sort of creatures do it? Ladybirds. Yes, so you share something in common with a ladybird. A flatfish. Do you know those ugly looking things that are flat? Did you know, this grosses you out a bit. Did you know that whenever they're born they have eyes at each side of their head? And because they spend all their time sideways on the bottom of the sea, their eye gradually moves round. It grosses you, it's minging. And so they've got two eyes on the same side. You ever seen a flat fish and they've got a normal, hide one eye and it looks kind of normal, and then you go, there's another eye there. Because it's moved round. Well, it's changed. It's metamorphosized. That's interesting. I thought it was anyway. There's a salamander. Listen to this for a word. It's called a hellbender salamander because they're ugly. And they really are ugly. Uglier than I. They are ugly things. But they metamorphose. They start off nice little cute salamander. Oh. And they end up just a minger of a thing. Okay? They change. They change. That is it. That is what God wants for you. Whether you live, folks, 10 years on planet Earth, or whether you live for another 80, God's will for you is that you change. God's will for you every day is that you change. You say, what am I changing into? What am I being transformed? If it's transformation, look, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What am I transforming to? I need to know. I'll go back to Romans. Remember, folks, Romans, the Gospel of Romans, or the letter to the Romans. If you've never read it, read it. And if you have read it, read it again. It is tremendous. Get into it and study it and get to love it. Go to chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. And I'll read this to you. For whom he did foreknow. Sorry, I'll wait till you get. Do you ever find out when people are reading the Bible publicly? They say, you can turn to Luke 14, verse 10. And behold, and then they start, there's no point even turning to it. So I'll need to wait. Have you all got it? Yes. Romans 8. Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to what? To the image of his son. To predestinate is to plan the destiny beforehand. God has the will of God has already been marked out for you. God knows what it is. And now you know what it is. What is God's will for you? God's will for you is that you become transformed into what? To become like Christ. You say, I knew that. You built this up and I said, I sure knew that. Okay, this is it. You need to get to know more. Once you get to know this, really get to know this, you will not ask the question. You will not spend hours on your knees, Lord, please help me. I need to know whether to do this and whether to do that. And ultimately, you don't know. The letter doesn't come from heaven. And then you do start looking into the Bible and trying to find a verse in the Bible that says something about Glasgow. And you can't find it. So, well, Glasgow is like a river and there's like a big city, it's a river runs through the city. I wonder, is there a verse in the Bible about a river runs through the city? And you look, there is a verse in the Bible about a river runs through the city. And you read it one day, I have to go to Glasgow then. Is that it? Is that knowing the will of God? No. It's not a mysterious, strange thing like that. No. It's a mature thing. God does not give you a command for every moment of your life. He gives you the big picture. And he says, no, this is what it's all about. You becoming like Christ. And as you grow as a Christian, you make decisions based on the will of God. You make your decisions based on how you can become more like Christ. So there's a little assembly, a little church in Glasgow, and they're struggling. And you've just heard that they would like some young person to come along. There's a couple of them come along, and they would like, and you have a desire to maybe do children's work, and they would like somebody to help do children's work. But in Edinburgh, the other place you were thinking of going to, the church there is a big church. It's a big, there's lots of help there, and you think, what's more Christ-like? And you make your decision based on that. It's not rocket science. It is not waiting for some revelation from heaven to tell you mysteriously to go to Glasgow. You're off on Monday, aren't you? School, most of you, yeah. Back on Tuesday? Oh, you're off for ages, aren't you? Right, okay, so in a month's time, whatever it is, you go to bed Sunday night, and Sunday morning, or Monday morning, you waking up and go, should I go to school today? Should I go to school today? Here's the big question of the day. Or some of you older folks at the back, should I go to work? And you come up with this kind of thing. Right. You lie and you think that's right. If I open the curtains and there's a robin on the windowsill, that means I have to go to school. Okay? We do that with Christian living, don't we? If I do this, if this happens, then it means that I have to do this. If I see that girl going past, that means I have to ask her out. Never do that. So you get up, you open the curtains, and chirp, chirp, there's a wee robin there. And you go, sweet, and go back to bed. Was that the thing? Was I going to school or not going to school? Right, anyway, you've changed it. Right, so you can go back to bed. Okay, the robin's there, go back to bed. And if you go jump into bed, or curtains or blankets over, I don't know if you have curtains in your bed, but blankets over your head and off you go to sleep. Okay. That's immaturity. You know that. That's not how you live. You make decisions based on wisdom, based on maturity. You make decisions, you get up in the morning, you think, I have to feed my weans. I have to please my wife. I have to please the employer. I have to make money. I have to go to work. You don't need a thus saith the Lord to go to work. You don't need a robin on the windowsill to tell you go to work. Do you? No, you make the decision based on what? Wisdom, maturity, knowledge, understanding of life. So when it comes to spiritual things, brothers and sisters, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow and mature and make decisions based upon what we understand God is like, how we understand the scriptures. Shall I go and help somebody? I'll give you this wee illustration. It might make sense to some, it might not. We've been working a little bit in West Belfast for a while, sharing the gospel with people, and a brother came to me recently and said, well, what verse did you get to make you go to West Belfast to share the gospel? What verse? Really the one that we kind of get at the end of Matthew 28. Go into all the world and kind of preach the gospel. Oh, I know that, Paul, I know that, but I mean, what verse did you get? Now, I know what he's meaning, but I was trying to wind him. I said, I don't know what you mean. So that you knew that you had to go, personally, you had to go to West Belfast. Did you get a, thou shalt go to the West verse? Brothers and sisters, Christians do that. Sometimes God is gracious and does guide and allow people to be guided that way, but that is not maturity. When Gideon said, Lord, you see, I'll do this. I'll obey you if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry. So that happened. Okay. Right, I'll obey you then if it's the other way around. And it was the other way around. All right, I have to obey you then. That's not maturity. Maturity is, God says it, I'll do it. And so there's a need for people in West Belfast to hear the gospel. There's a desire in my heart to do it. There's the verse that says, go and do it. And so you make the decision to go and do it. Brothers and sisters, I don't think, now, you can slam dunk me at the end of the meeting if you totally disagree with me, that I don't think there's anything more complicated in the Bible to that. For the will of God, it's to do with maturity and growing. And the big thing is to be like Christ. So no matter what you do, you become like Christ. And this gives an understanding, folks, to life. Okay, so I have this massive thing in my head. I want to be a missionary in Russia and convert Putin and just change Russia. And then I got married and I've got kids and I can't take them to Russia. And I don't know the language. And there's all these barriers. Barriers to the will of God in my life. But if I understood that the will of God for my life is to become like Christ, whether I'm in Northern Ireland or whether I'm in Russia, these are not barriers at all then. These are stepping stones for me to work through in my life to take me to the destination of becoming like Christ. Does that make sense? Does that somehow take away kind of this magical idea James was talking about earlier, that sometimes we can be blamed, and rightly so, for treating the Bible as a magic book. As a kind of, the rivers run into the sea. There it goes, the rivers run into the sea after Glasgow. You know, you can read anything into the Bible. No, God gives us that freedom as we mature and as we grow to make decisions based upon our understanding of God, our understanding of Christ. As we read the scriptures, we grow, we develop, we make decisions based on maturity. And that's why the little lady, 85-year-old, and has brought up 3 kids and some grandchildren and hasn't changed the world, and she's smiling and she's fulfilled in her life. Why? Because she can look back and she can trace God's hand in her life, and she's gradually becoming more like Christ. And she's lived a fulfilled life, and she's lived a full life, and she's lived a life pleasing to God, and she hasn't changed the world, but God has changed her. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Is it wrong to be a missionary? No. Will God call some of you to go to Russia? I hope he does. But remember, when you're in Russia, that's not the end game. The end game is for you to become more like Christ. Okay? Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. This maybe helps understand this word, this other word we're going to look at just now for a few seconds. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice. When I was a younger believer, you went to meetings and they always talked about this sacrifice. You have to give God a sacrifice in your life. And I thought that what they meant was this thing of giving up everything and doing something massive with your life, making a change, becoming like Jim Elliot, becoming like C.T. Studd. Look what I've given up. Look at the sacrifice I've given up. But I'm just a wee punter at school. I have to go to school. That means that I can't sacrifice until I leave school. I don't have any money to give. Mum and Dad don't give me pocket money. For me, I can't give money. I can't give money. I can't go anywhere. I can't do it. So that means this verse does not apply to me until after I become an adult and can make my own decisions. I can't be right. That cannot be right. The Bible says here, sacrifice. What does it mean, sacrificing? Sacrifice is something that is consumed for one reason. A sheep or a goat, whatever it is, it's burnt up for one reason. One reason. God's pleasure. So how can my life be a sacrifice then? Your life is a sacrifice, folks. Whenever you place your whole life to God and say, God, you make me like Christ. That's the sacrifice. You make me like Jesus Christ. Because you know what? It will cost you everything. It will cost you everything to become like Christ. Because he's so different from we are. It's not an easy journey. Not at all. It is the hardest and yet the most fulfilling life you could ever live. When you hand over your life to your captain and say, make me more like you. Folks, he will take you and he will twist you and he will wring you out and he will break you. And life will not be easy. But he's making you become something that is precious to him. Some of you already have known what it is to go through difficult times in your life. Broken families, broken homes. Does it mean that God, I can't fulfill the will of God? No. That's the atmosphere that God wants to make you like his son. Right there, right then. That's massive. There was a couple of missionaries that left to go to another country, and whenever they were giving their call, you know, like telling them how God had called them to be missionaries, this brother said this from the platform. Now, he was older than I am now. He'd lived 30, 40 years as a Christian. He said, for the first 40 years of my Christian life, listen to this, I didn't know what the will of God for me was. But now I know it's to be a missionary in the country. What would you say to that? What would you say to that? I'd say it's good to be a missionary. It's good to take the gospel to a country. But you would have to say to them, it doesn't matter how old you are and you're Christian, you have missed what the will of God is. The will of God has been working all along through your life. God has been making you more like his son. Okay, so it's sacrificial in that sense. What will stop the will of God happening in your life? What will stop this transformation, this metamorphosis, this you becoming more like Jesus Christ? What will stop it biblically? Look at Romans chapter 12. I know we're getting tired. Nearly there. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. What will stop you changing to become more like Christ is if you are squeezed into the mold of this world. It says, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. To be squeezed into the mould of this world. To take on the character. To be linked with this world. To look like this world. To be like in character to this world. That's what will stop you. That's what will stop you being transformed to become like Christ. Okay? But some ways, and I know you're not very interactive this afternoon. Some ways that you can be squeezed into the mould of this world. Peer pressure. Do this. Your mates are all doing it. Do this. And you know in your heart it's not like Christ. You know this is not Christ-likeness. If I do this, I am not developing in Christ-like characteristics. I'm not becoming more like my Saviour. But you do it. You've been squeezed in. You're being pushed into the mould of the world. Okay? Social media. How you look, All these things, it's important how you look. Girls, I know it's important how you look. But remember, beauty is in character. That is true beauty. Character. Becoming more like Christ. And guys, you can flex your muscles and go to the gym and wear tight t-shirts all you like. But no matter how strong you are, listen to this, men, no matter how strong you are, an old dying horse will always be stronger. An old dying horse will always be able to pull more and lift more than you can. So don't think you're amazing. You'll never be as strong as an old horse. Okay? That's not the big thing, boys. The big thing is becoming more like Christ. You could spend your whole life and look amazing, and your character be failing. Your character, you could be a horrible person. You could be full of pride and selfishness and deceit and gossip. And you could be a missionary wherever you want to be. You could be a preacher. You could be a pastor of a mega church and be full of pride and have not made the first step in the will of God for your life. Conformity to Christ. So how does that work? How can you become more conformed to Christ? And do you know what most people say at this time, at this stage? Right, folks, off you go, do your best. Be more conformed to Christ, that's your aim, that's your target. Be more like him, that's the will of God. Now off you go, folks, live your life, try your best. Come back in a year's time, tell me how you got on. And you'll go back in a year's time and you'll say, do you know what, that is impossible, I can't do that. I cannot do that. I have tried my best to live like Christ. I cannot do it. And that's the point. You'll never do it. You go, what's the point of that then? So the will of God for my life is to be like Christ. And yet if I try my best, I can't be like Christ. But God says this is the will of God for you. So what do? And this is something, brothers and sisters, that God will have to take you to. This will only happen as you depend on him to make it happen. It's to do with trust. How did you get saved? You didn't get saved with trying your best. I'm going to try my best to be saved today. I'm going to do my best. The day you got saved, you said, I cannot be saved myself. I cannot get saved myself. I cannot save myself. I can't make myself right with God. Jesus Christ did a work for me at the cross. He can save me, so I just trust in him. And I trust him every day. And so when it comes to living out the Christian life and becoming more like Christ, you say, I'm trying my best, I can't become like Christ. How do you become like Christ then? By trusting him. By depending on him. What does it look like? Galatians chapter, really done. Galatians chapter, Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. This, folks, is what God wants for your life. This is it. Now, you've maybe drawn pictures about this in Sunday school and have wee little grapes hanging from different places with the words of the fruit of the Spirit on it. That's lovely. Get it in your head. Tattoo it, don't tattoo it, actually. Thing me mark it, what's that marker called? It's indelible. Sharpie mark it on your head, okay? Don't tattoo it. This is it. Every day, you should be developing in love. Love men. Sounds a bit feminine for guys. Love, love. This is it. There's nothing stronger on earth than love. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. 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 God, the will of God for my life is to be gentle. Goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's what God wants for you. That's what he's taking you to. That's what he's working at. That's what God is working in your life. Every day he's working that way. To change you, to become more like his son. Okay? So, we're kind of finished. Transformation. Becoming more like Christ. Can you do it yourself? No. You have to depend on him to do it. What does it look like? It looks like Christ. What does that actually look like? It looks like this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You see, if you speak to a man that you think has maybe reached spiritual maturity, okay, and he doesn't have time for you, he's not a mature Christian. You see, if you see a man or hear a man or a woman and they gossip about other people, they can call themselves whatever they like. They're not mature Christians. They're not living like this. This is massive. Do you know, folks, that you become like the people that you hang around with, don't you? Some of you are glad of that, some of you are not so glad. You become like the people you hang around with. It is no different in spiritual things. You want to become like Christ? You have got to spend time yourself with him. You've got to spend time with him. So the whole thing about, you know, do you read your Bible today? You're a Christian, do you read your Bible today? It is not about, do you read your Bible today? Because if you don't, you're going to get punished for it. It's because that's what it's all about. Spending time with Christ in the Word of God. Learning about him. Thinking about him. The values that God has. The truth of God. Learn more about Christ. And as you spend time with him, you become like him. And it will not happen overnight. It takes a lifetime. Whether that lifetime's 10 years or 80 years, it will take all your life to become more like Christ. And therein is the will of God for your life. Can you get that? Can you see that that is bigger? Do you pick up a pig puzzles at home? Yeah? I actually like Peppa Pig. I think Daddy Pig gets a hard time of it. I think there's like an underlying anti-male-ness in Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig puzzle at home. And you've got your four bits. Okay. Right. Forget Peppa Pig. Big puzzle at home. Okay. And you've got your 100, 200 bits. All these little things. How are you ever going to bring them together? How did it ever make sense? What do you need? You need the big picture. See, once you have the big picture, you know exactly where every bit fits. And Christian living, transformation, is the big picture. When you get that, then you know what God's doing in your life. When things don't go well, when you don't pass that exam, it's not because he doesn't love you, it's because he's making you more like Christ. The whole of life starts to make sense. All the little pieces start to fit together because you've seen the big picture. Transformation to become more like Jesus. Michael, that's me. Finished. That's all right. Thank you.